Welcome, I'm James Sturtevant. I'm a technical evangelist with Microsoft. And today we're going to be talking about security with Robert Holroyd. He's an MVP, and I'm really excited to have him on the line with us today to show us a little bit about application from a security standpoint, from a developer standpoint. Robert, would you give us a quick introduction to yourself?
Sure, James. Thanks. I'm Robert Holroyd, and as James mentioned, I'm a Microsoft MVP. Right now it's for Visual Studio and Development Technologies, but my emphasis is on developer security, and that's, you know, that is my focus. I've been a developer for many, many years, but then also started looking at security a number of years ago and combined the two, and so those are some things that I do.
Cool. So how did you get into security? I know I've done a little bit of application security in the past because I was the one that volunteered to do it. And so how did you get yourself involved in that?
Well, it's interesting. As I mentioned, I was a developer for many years, also an architect and other kinds of positions that I've held with companies. And about 12 years ago, I was, I'm also a consultant, so I've also worked on different contracts. And at that time, I was doing that as well. And I was on a team that was putting together some websites and a few other things. And really, I started looking at a little bit more about security. And most security things that you see out there at that time especially was all about network security. Sure. And I knew about those things. I was interested. I had my own lab and that sort of thing, and I played around. But I didn't really think so much about developer security, but I did come across Gary McGraw's book, and I know a lot of other people who have the same story or similar story where that book, which came out, you know, around that time, about 12 years ago, sparked our interest. His book was Building Security In. And for me, what it sparked in me was just that understanding about, hey, wait a minute, you know, we need to also think about security in our applications, not just the network, on the network side, the firewalls and so forth. So out of that, I got really interested in it, and I started learning more and more about, for example, with the web application we were building, some of the issues, cross-site scripting, and of course, you know, SQL injection and all the other things that you can do as a developer that you may see in a sample that's not quite right. And you put in place, and now I've just made my application insecure. And so as I was learning about that, with the team that I was in, we put together some lunch and learns and just met, you know, at lunchtime and talked about some things. And I started presenting some information that I was finding out. And that's just kind of how I, got really interested in this and started going from there. The other thing that I also found was one of the original threat modeling books that came out from Microsoft. And again, I was really interested in architecture, really interested in how you combine that with development and design. And threat modeling was another security topic that I go, wow, this is great. Thinking about secure design and how do you combine those with what you're building, your architecture and you know, your development phases and so forth. So I just kind of went from there and just started talking to people about it, user groups, and then eventually some conferences and things like that. And then, you know, just kept going.
Cool. So, you know, with everything that's in the news today, we see, you know, credit cards being stolen, personal information being taken, especially, you know, with, I think the latest one was with children's information being leaked out.
Right.
Why do we continue to see so many things in security, even though we know it's important? And what are some of the simple things that we can do to address some of those security concerns?
Well, you know, I think in regards to those and why we still see those problems, I think it still goes back to a mindset shift, which is, first of all, it's not the network. The network is one thing, but our applications are another. And I think over the last 10 years especially, we've gotten really good at network security, at least in terms of trying to protect the what's coming in. We have certain ports that are closed down. We have different things that we're looking for and stopping. So we do that fairly well. The last frontier is the application and the data that we protect underneath. And so why we still see these problems is, one is, I think, a mindset shift that we still haven't completely shifted to say we need to also start looking at our applications. Along with that is secure design, thinking about what could go wrong. You know, and that, again, comes into play the threat modeling I mentioned, where you think about what are the assets that I have that are important? How do I protect those? What are the kinds of problems that could happen? How can an attacker use an attack surface? For example, I've got a website, and I've got certain vulnerabilities that are there that might be compromised. And then if they did, what would they do with that? If I have a SQL injection vulnerability where I've concatenated strings and sent it to the database, what can an attacker do with that? Well, he can compromise your database. He can practically steal your entire database just by one place that there's a SQL injection and it's available to the outside, and an attacker then could use to obtain a lot of data out of your database or change data in your database. So I think the reason why we're still seeing these, and I think it's, one reason why I think we're seeing it is because also people are more aware of these things and they're finding the problems. Maybe they didn't before. But the other thing is, it goes back to design, you know, that we didn't think about application design as much in the first place, secure design in the first place. Our priorities were perhaps performance and, of course, meeting business requirements. But security is also a business requirement, and it really needs to have that kind of attention. So that's what I see as why is that. It's not had the priority that it's needed, although we talk a great talk about it, but it still needs to get down to the grassroots and say, how do I build a secure system, put in place the right controls, monitor that system, and know how to react to the things that we see.
Cool. So it's really about thinking about it as we're designing our applications.
Absolutely.
And so you mentioned threat modeling in there. Could you talk a little bit more about what that is? Because that sounds like that time when we actually start to think about what an attacker can do to our application and how do we actually handle and mitigate those risks.
Right. Well, the first thing about threat modeling is understanding what you're building. What's your system? Because there's a lot of low-hanging fruit that you certainly can mitigate against. And I know other people and I talk about that are in the security community talk about, why do we still see SQL injection? Why do we still
right.
see some of these problems? It's crazy. But, to me, those are things we want to try to get rid of, and we want to try, there's so much information out there and so many tools that can help you. Why aren't we using them? But threat modeling goes a little bit beyond that in the sense that it's also about your business flow. It's about understanding from an attacker's perspective, and it could be an attacker, it could be also just how your business runs with your application, but what are the pain points? What are the areas where you're most vulnerable, and an attacker then could use those vulnerabilities to realize a threat, to be able to steal credit card data, and so on and so forth. So threat modeling is, again, thinking about your application, breaking it down, understanding the moving parts, and then as those parts are interacting with each other, are there any places there where an attacker may be interested and may be able to compromise? If I'm connecting from one part of my application to another and sending sensitive data, well, is it an open channel? Can somebody listen to it? Well, there's a vulnerability and a potential threat of somebody listening to that the information that's being passed. So that becomes part of your threat model. We know that if I have part A and part B, I need to secure the channel. That becomes part of your threat model. So again, it's really thinking about your system as a whole, the different moving parts, how are things moving between the parts, and the potential vulnerabilities that may be in place that an attacker may be interested in.
Cool. So what are some of the simple things that we can do inside our applications, maybe a web application in general, that we can kind of address upfront very quickly to make sure that we're making our application secure.
Sure. Well, I think one of the first things is understand your environment, understand your language that you're using, understand the tools that you're using, the components that you're using. Each language, each environment has trade-offs. For example, .NET, if you're using the latest .NET framework, if you're using ASP.NET or ASP.NET MVC, or even some of the new stuff that's coming out with .NET Core, provides some built-in help with cross-site scripting, for example. Understand how to use those. Understand, okay, we potentially have a threat with cross-site scripting. How do I use the controls, or how do I use the syntax in order to help me? If I'm using a JavaScript environment, for example, any kind of like Angular or Aurelia or something like that, what are the syntax, specific syntax formats that I need to use to protect against cross-site scripting? So that's really important, is understand your environment, understand what it can help you with or not help you with security, be familiar with the issues, and then, you know, start building those in. How do I build this string, or how do I process this string in a secure way so it helps me with security? So that's one thing. The other thing is, you know, training is always important. You need to know what you don't know. And sometimes they say, well, how do I know what I don't know? The only way you can know is just, you know, spend some time to become familiar with basic security, web security. You know, there's classes, there's online training, there's a lot of material out there. And I always recommend any developer, just like with performance, just like with other things that we're thinking about in building an application, you also need to think about and look at just some basic security and understand, you know, how this is put together in a secure way. Beyond that, you know, tools are not bad. There are some good tools that will also do some scanning of your application to look for some low-hanging fruit. It will compare against, for example, the OWASP top 10 top vulnerabilities that are found out there. You can also run different penetration test tools against your application. The problem with pen testing tools, though, is many times we run them at the end, because obviously you need a fully or mostly fully working application to see if there is a problem. But by that time, you may be too late. So definitely rely on what do you know, what are the basic guidelines that you need to follow for your particular environment. And then you know, review your code, and then finally, you know, test your code and see how it is performing. But all those things together, you know, really help you, and I think they're, you know, all highly recommended for a modern developer.
Cool. You mentioned some of those tools like the pen testing or the OWASP tools to kind of check those various parts of your application. Mm-hmm. Is that something you can build into your like build pipeline so that they kind of get run continuously as you're building your application out?
Sure, definitely. There are a few little tools like that. I know one recently saw was called Gauntlet, which is it's a bunch of little tools that are pulled together in Map and so on that can check for you know, what do you have exposed. Any XSS, there's a tool for XSS. There's another one for SSL to verify your SSL is set up correctly. And it, you can actually set this up in a continuous integration part of your build so that, you know, after you submit your code, check it in, you can actually run this suite of tools against. And these are all open source, which is fantastic. Yeah. And there's some others out there that do the same as well, some commercial tools that will do the same. But the key is, and many of them are getting better and better at this, but I think, you know, that's the goal, I think, is if you can integrate those, and there's certainly some ways to do it, then, you know, you should do it. And it makes sense.
Yeah, it seems like a great way to, you know, continuously test your application, especially from a developer's perspective. We love to, you know, have unit tests, have spec tests and stuff like that. So we might as well have some of those security tests built into our our pipeline that we have for our application.
Definitely. I will say just briefly also is don't rely on those exclusively though. Sure. And that's the thing that I also try to, you know, as a developer, as an architect, I've always been a big proponent of unit testing and making sure that developers understand that, you know, before you check in your code, make sure you have some kind of test for it. Make sure that you've exercised not just the happy path, but also the negative cases, the misuse cases. And that's a part of security as well. Thinking about, you know, this is the way I know that my application should work. This is the way this method should work. But what happens if I, you know, send in code or send in something else than I expect? How do you handle that? What are you doing with exception handling? Things like that. So those are important in tests as well. And again, they all require some thinking to upfront to build out your application, running tests on the front end, running tests on the back end.
Yeah, it seems like that's the part that could get really exciting about the security, being creative, trying to come up with the ways that somebody else might break your application. Seems like a good opportunity to have some fun there.
Sure, yeah.
So you do all the security, but you actually are a developer too.
Right.
Is that right? Yeah, okay.
Still do development. Still do.
That's awesome. So what are you working in? And maybe could you show us a little bit about some of the things that we could look at for security in those regards?
Sure. Well, just a quick aside, you know, I do threat modeling. I help clients with that. And that doesn't necessarily involve development. But when I'm developing, yeah, usually I'm helping a customer. I may be a part of a team helping them with identity. You know, that's always a big thing, identity management, authentication, authorization, making sure that's correct. A lot of times I'll be on a project, let's say, for example, .NET, and they say, you know, we just grabbed the latest ASP.NET template, and we're using all the standard stuff, and we're trying to work through it. And I've come in, I don't know how many times, with a client and working through some of those things and trying to help them understand. And so today I can even show you a little bit of that here shortly. Okay, so in this example here, what I did was I created an MVC site just using a regular template or the standard template, and I'm using ASP.NET 4.6, actually 4.6.1. And you know, a lot of these will come with their own, like I said, a template, account controller, home controller, and so forth. And I know several times I've gone in and helped customers to look at account controller. And I'll have to say, I mean, they're definitely improving on these. I see new things every time I get a Doom.NET version, and I always check, okay, what are we doing now here? But you know, anytime that you get a template, you still need to review it. You still need to make sure you understand what it's doing and is it meeting your requirements for security. Maybe there are some things, you know, for example, I believe, if I remember correctly, the account or the password length is still 6 as the minimum. That's really not enough. You need to increase that. So you need to check those things and make sure that it's meeting your requirements, your security requirements for your application. But a couple things I do want to show you right out of the box, which is really interesting. If I run the website, I haven't changed anything. I've just left it as is. So it fires up. Everything looks fine. Register, login, all those things look fine. I have another tool that I use occasionally. It's the OWASP Z Attack Proxy, or ZAP for short. And I can actually use it to attack a website and see what's going on with it. I can do a lot of things that you would also do with Fiddler. You can use Fiddler as well, but this one in particular, I can run against it and see what's going on. So my URL is localhost and 4320. Let's try that. And what it's going to do, first thing, is spider the website, see what's happening, where the links are going, what are the things that are available, and so on. After it's spidered the website, then it's going to run some attacks and see through scanning, are there any any bits of information that are exposed, and so on. Now, you can see that really only things that are exposed are register a login, but it's going to keep trying to hit it and find out what it can. And it'll come up with a few alerts.
So is it just right now, you say spider, that means to essentially go across all the links inside the application?
Correct. Yeah, so it just finds out what the links are in the application and register those and understand, okay, those are the things that I'm going to hit. And, you know, it'll collect those and say, okay, I can find under 4320, I can find the account. I have a get, I have a post, I have, you know, and so on. And then, like I said, it's just going to keep trying these. And then it'll get me just a list of some things it finds. But I'll show you here shortly.
And so what it's doing right now is actually just making a bunch of different requests with different data sets.
Correct.
Trying different things. You know,
correct.
It might try 1, 2, 3. It might try A, B, C, D, E, F kind of thing. Trying to just figure out if it can break the login in any way.
Yeah, login or scripts or, yeah, different things that that you may have out there in your website.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about what the OWASP is?
Yeah, OWASP is Open Web Application Security Project, essentially. So what it's trying to do is it's a group of people around the world, really, that have gathered together to try to come up with some standard security issues and approaches to fix those issues. And so OWASP's Top 10, for example, is a list of, it comes out every 3 years. There's going to be a new one, should be this year, but it comes out every 3 years to say, here are the top 10 things that we have found. Now, that's not everything in the world, but it's the top 10 things that we keep seeing. So here it just finished, and it found a few things. For example, application errors, and we could see that where it kept hitting a 500 internal error. But a couple of things I noted really quickly is this X-Frame options. And the nice thing about Zap or many tools like this is it will tell you it's not included, and what that can help do is protect you against clickjacking attacks, which essentially is a way of writing on an authenticated session. And also, you know, I can put my application in a frame and then be able to click in and do something as that user that's logged in. And so it says, well, you need to put that in place so that you don't have that problem. And there are a couple things that you can do really quickly, actually. Inside the web config, and I won't go through as we have just a little bit of time here, but I have inside the system.web server, inside the web config, X-Frames options right here, deny. Well, actually, if I put that in place, I rerun this, I run Zap again, that'll be gone. I also have a couple other things that found, XSS protection and X content type options. The other thing that's interesting that I found as well is here's the X content type options and so on. The other thing that also you'll see is that in the headers, it will tell you what your server is. It's powered by ASP.NET, or it's IIS, or it's MVC, what version. Inside the global ASAX, and this is the older version, I can use a disable MVC response header, which will turn off the MVC, what version it is. And then I can also remove the server from the headers as well. So those are a couple things, and what that falls under is information leakage. So for an attacker coming to your website and seeing the security headers, they may know what kind of MVC version you're running, what ASP.NET version you're running, and so on. These are some things that you can immediately turn off so that an attacker wouldn't know some of those versions and know the vulnerabilities associated with those versions of code that you're using. So, cool. So just a few things.
Yeah, so those are some really quick things that we can do to right now in our code and make sure that we have in place to make sure we're mitigating some of the risks that are out there.
Correct.
Well, thanks for showing us a little bit of the, you know, in the code, how you can actually begin to secure your code. As we wrap up here, what's one of the big trends that you see in security coming up in maybe 2016 and in the future?
Well, you know, I think, again, they said that 2015 was the year of the breach, and probably 2014 and 2013. Is 2016 going to be the year of the breach? Unfortunately, probably so. We'll still see some data breaches out there, different issues. One of the things that was big in 2015 was issues with automobiles and IoT. I think that's still going to be really big in 2016. We're going to see even more issues, I think, with IoT, because that seems to be a really hot trend right now to look at IoT. How can we implement, make our devices smarter and not thinking about security? So those kinds of issues are going to keep coming up. I think we'll still see those where, you know, security was not part of the design for whatever reason, and now we need to be a little bit smarter about that. So I think those are going to still, we're going to see a lot more of those in 2016.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for taking your time and sharing your expertise with us. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Okay. Thanks.